This is Living the RV Dream, episode 108 for Friday, the 2nd of August, 2019.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, pelican heads, happy travelers around the world. Today, coming to you from rainy Washington, Washington State, I am almost at the northwesternmost corner of the contiguous United States, the lower 48. I'm coming to you today from this town called, and let me see if I can pronounce the name correctly. It's Sikiu. I guess, S-E-K-I-U, very close to another town called Clallam Bay. And I'm basically about half an hour away or 45 minutes from, Cape Flattery. So tomorrow, and this is the plan, tomorrow I plan to visit Cape Flattery, and which is the northwesternmost point of the USA. And also I plan to visit a more remote location, actually, called Cape Alava. And that's the westernmost point in the lower 48. It's actually a little bit further west than Cape Flattery. And in order to get there, you have to do like a four-mile trail from Ozette Lake. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up early, try to upload this podcast episode, because to be honest, there is no internet here. Actually, there is. I was able briefly to get a signal from Canada, actually, so I don't know if this is going to cost me money, but the phone briefly said, tell us, and where it's supposed to say AT&T, and I got 4G LTE briefly, but then it switched back to emergency calls only, so I guess I was able to make one phone call, and that was it. But the idea is the following. I'm going to go to sleep early today. I'm going to wake up at the crack of dawn tomorrow, drive down to Forks, Washington, which is about 40 minutes away. Maybe I can get a signal even further north, upload this episode, and then I'm going to Cape Alava. And it is raining, actually. I've been lucky. I haven't seen rain. When was the last time I saw rain? It's been a while. It's been like a month. So, it's kind of welcome. I mean, Minitini does need a car wash or an RV wash desperately, even though I did one the other day, but I'm really not good at it. I really need to get back to Florida and get in touch with my friend Randall. You know, he's the official Minitini, you know, the official traveling rubber auto and RV detailer, so there you go. And what else was I going to talk about? Well, the Oregon coast has been great. Oregon, a beautiful state. And maybe later in the trip, I will go inland Oregon. This time I only did the coast. I think the last time we spoke, I was in Petaluma, California. And of course, we did the meetup there. That went great. We got like 20 people. It was a great time had by all, and more than a few IPAs, I'm sure. And from there, in Petaluma, I started working my way up the California coastline, you know, the Pacific Coast Highway. And one of the first towns that I hit was Bodega Bay. And that's pretty much where the California Highway rejoins the ocean. And Bodega Bay, it's very, very famous for that Alfred Hitchcock movie from, I think, 1961 or 62, The Birds. And it was filmed in Bodega, and Bodega Bay. And one of the scenes, he made it look like the schoolhouse was right on the bay, and you'll see it in my video in a couple of months. But it's really cool to see it with your own eyes, and how really the magic of movies and television, how they good editing, they can make things look different than the way they are. And from there I worked my way north. Of course, it is a beautiful coastline everywhere. And eventually I hit the... where was it? I did my live stream, my Friday live stream. I found good internet signal in near Point Arena in the Pacific Coast. And I continued on my way north. I stayed at a couple of casinos along the way. And probably the highlight of the whole trip was seeing the Redwoods. I took the Avenue of the Giants. And if you're ever in this area... definitely, it is a must see. I haven't been to Sequoia National Park, and I hear in Sequoia they're even bigger. But these trees are really majestic, and I posted one picture on Instagram, but it doesn't really do it justice. You really have to be there to see it. And that night, I actually boondocked at a casino in Lolera. Lolera, they have a cheese factory. It's a pretty cool town. And I ate at this very iconic restaurant in Eureka. It's called Samoa Cookhouse. And what they do, they have one item on the menu, and that's, you know, it's a fixed menu. So, like, when I went, what they had for breakfast was scrambled eggs, sausages, and French toast. And, you know, of course, coffee and biscuits with gravy. And that's all they have. One item on the menu, you know. So, and it's all you can eat, family style. So, it was pretty good. It wasn't I won't say it's the best breakfast I've ever had in my life, but it was good. And that the whole coastline driving north, it is so beautiful. And of course, I didn't stop nearly at most of the places where I wanted to stop. And there was that marine layer that, you know, it was very foggy all the way until I hit this place called Big Lagoon. And from there, you know, it there's the office for the national park. And there's another road that takes you through the Redwoods. It's called my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. Newton B. Drury Scenic Parkway. And it takes you through the heart of they have the Prairie Creek Visitor Center. And there's this pullout that is called the Big Tree Pullout. And it's this huge sequoia that you can, you know, take a picture of it and see it. And it's like 1,000 years old. Very, very cool. I really enjoyed seeing the Redwoods. That probably was the highlight of the California coastline. I mean, besides, you know, the landscape. But the real highlight was when I arrived in Oregon, of course. And I stayed at another casino near Crescent City that night, right before entering Oregon. I think it's called Lucky Seven. Very nice. Very nice. They even let you stay for 3 nights and you don't even have to check in, do anything. So that was... But the Oregon coast, because there are all these islands, all these rocky islands right off the coast, and some of them have arches. And it was really, really cool. I went to the Cape Blanco Lighthouse, which I believe it is like the oldest continuously operating lighthouse in Oregon, and they have a tour for $2. So, you know, it was like, I was like, yeah, sure, but for $2, I'll do it, you know. And a lot of points of interest, a lot of places where you can stop and see different things. The only disconcerting thing, you know, I stopped to put gas, and, you know, like in Florida, I didn't see anybody there, so I just stick my card in and did my thing and then started pouring gas, and the guy comes out of the gas station, "No, you're not supposed to pump your own gas in Oregon." I'm like, "Really? I've been doing it for 30 years, but it's okay, you know." And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I was kind of grouchy and grumpy for that first part of the Oregon coast. But it is such a beautiful area. And I went to see this kind of a tourist trappy kind of place. It's called the Sea Lion Caves. And they have this cave down there with sea lions. Of course, there's a Sea Lion Beach in California, which is free. But, well, this one, they charge you, I believe it's... I don't have the internet here to do it because I'm off grid. I feel like I'm in 1994. Let me tell you, it's like $12, something like that. And, you know, they have two viewpoints, and they have a lot of sea lions, and they have this quarter operated, you know, telescopes. Binoculars. How do I forget the word binoculars? But one of the main things about this place, you can see the Hesera Head Lighthouse, and the Oregonians claim this is the most photographed lighthouse in Oregon, and it is beautiful. I put a picture on Instagram if you want to see it, and the Sea Lion Cave was cool too. So, you know, that was one among many things that I saw along the way. There's also Cape Perpetua Visitor Center. Cape Perpetua, they have several of these points when the tide is right. They have like the Sprouting Horn and Thor's Well. And of course, none of those places have RV parking. So I just went to the Scenic Overlook, which is on the top of the mountain, and you can see the whole thing from up there. And it's really cool. And they don't have RV parking proper, like organized, like, by the way, I'm gonna go on a tangent. They don't have organized RV parking, but usually there's enough parking where you can, you know, park your RV using three regular parking spots. But one thing that impressed me about Oregon is that pretty much every town, every city has a designated RV parking, not overnight, but like they use RV parking. And they do have signs prohibiting regular cars, you know, passenger cars, to park in those places. And I thought that was cool. I guess they have put signs of no overnight camping in all the old places where you could boondock in the past. And as part of my research, I watched a lot of YouTube videos and did a lot of research, and a lot of these pullouts along the 101 in Oregon, you could boondock overnight. All of them, not a single one, all of them has overnight camping prohibited. And I'm sure some people get away with it, but I know if I do it, I'm going to get that knock at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I didn't really want to go through that. So I stuck to casinos, actually, along the way. And where else did I go? There's so much to see on that coastline I went to Tillamook. That's where I spent the next night, in Tillamook. And at Harvest Hosts, the Blue Heron Cheese Company, that place looks like an RV park. They have like a lot of room, and I guess a lot of people know about it. And there were a lot of RVs down there, and they do have cheese tasting and wine tasting, and they do serve breakfast. I skipped the breakfast and went to the other famous cheese factory in Tillamook, which is called the Tillamook Cheese Factory. And that was it's one of those places that is so immaculately clean that you say, wow, I really feel like eating here. So I had some of the cheese samples. I had some ice cream. I bought some cheese and some butter, actually, to go. And I continued on my way north. I discovered serendipitously this place, town called Garibaldi. Beautiful, quaint town there. They have a scenic railroad that goes from Garibaldi to Rockaway Beach, apparently, and back. And that's a train ride that I want to take at some point, because I saw the locomotive in Rockaway Beach. By the way, Rockaway Beach, another really cool town. And they have this cool rock formation with an arch of the coast. And from there, of course, was the most iconic and famous rock in Oregon. It's Haystack Rock in Cannon Beach. And of course, I went there I ate at this place called Moe's, which is a chain, really. But it was good. I ate with a view of Haystack Rock. What else? What could be better, right? And the food was good. And I wanted to go to Ecola State Park, which, by the way, every time I say Ecola, I think of like the bacteria or even Ebola for some reason in my mind. But over here, and that's one thing that is actually cool because they leave it to your discretion. In California and in Oregon, what I have found, they don't say vehicles over 25 feet prohibited. They just have a sign saying trailers not recommended. And when I saw trailers not recommended, I'm like, it's probably gonna be fine, but it's gonna be a pain to find parking up there. You know, Equalai State Park is like on a hill, and that's the iconic view where you can see Haystack Rock down there. But I was like, you know what, I'm running late. Let's just continue on the way north. And that's what I did, because I wanted to see Astoria. But I decided not to stay in Astoria. It's not really an RV-friendly town. It even has like these steep streets that kind of remind me of San Francisco, really. So I stayed at Cape Disappointment, which, by the way, was not a disappointment. Cape Disappointment State Park in Washington. So I entered Washington, but then I came back to Astoria because, you know, it's a very cute, iconic town. Also very famous for many movies filmed there, like... the one with Johnny Five is Alive, Short Circuit, one of my favorite movies from the 80s, and of course The Goonies, which I have vague memories of. I have to rewatch it at some point. I've tried, but I haven't been able to get through it. I remember I watched it when I was in my early teens, but it's been decades. And in fact, I do believe I watched it in black and white back in Cuba. That's how I remember it. But anyways, that was a couple of yesterday actually. And from there, I've been having problems with my RV battery. That's why I'm staying at this place today, at a proper RV park with full hookups, because I've been boondocking. I've been killing my battery every night, and every night it's getting worse and worse, because of course I've been killing it. Once you kill one of these AGM batteries, you bring them below 12 volts, you know, and I've brought this one down to probably 11 or 10.5. I killed the battery, so it doesn't really last all that long overnight, especially if I turn on my inverter to do some work on the videos or record the podcast. Yeah, so last night in the middle of the night, I was almost without power for some reason. But I went to this beach. Long Beach is supposed to be like one of the longest beaches in the world. And by the way, the beaches here very different from what I'm used to in Florida. It's I don't know how to explain it, besides the air being a lot colder and the water, not even mention it. It's just different. It's a different type of sand, and you have the driftwood and all this stuff. But anyways, I came and I decided I was going to camp at the beach. I was really totally thinking about camping at the beach there at Olympic National Park. There's a campground called South Beach Campground. They have several ones, but I decided to make a beeline for up here, because one of the goals of this trip, I wanted to visit the westernmost point of the United States and the northwesternmost point of the United States. If you know, a couple of weeks ago, I visited the southwesternmost point of the United States, which is, you know, where they have the wall, which is really a fence dividing Mexico from the United States. Here, they don't have a wall, of course, on this side, because we have a body of water, the Salish Sea. What's it called? The Salish Sea. And I'm actually looking at Canada on the other side of the bay from right here, from where I am. So tomorrow, that's what I'm going to do. And then I start heading east, and I'm quite tempted to, if I can find camping in Port Angeles, to take a day trip to Victoria on the ferry. And I've heard from many people that that's like a really, really cool trip. They, you know, I have my passport with me, so I could take the morning ferry and return in the afternoon and spend the day in Victoria. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that make an awesome video? Well, I think that's what I'm going to do. And today, my plan was totally to read some of your mail and play back some of your voicemails. But as it is, on the road, and I still don't learn that you have to plan for these things and make sure you have internet on Thursdays and Fridays. But, you know, I'm just playing by the seat of my pants. And in any case, in a little over a month, I'm going to be back in Miami already. So, more about that later. Right after the Hershey RV show, which I still don't... I haven't made my reservation for camping. You bet I'm going to have to boondock. But that's okay. And that's all I'm going to say today. Tomorrow morning, of course, I'm going to look for internet to be able to upload this fine podcast to you guys. And until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free, my RV.